Mary Yellen sat huddled in her corner, swaying from side to side, shaken by the coach, and it seemed to her that never before had she known there was malevolence in solitude. On either side of the road there were no trees, no lanes, but mile upon mile of bleak moorland. Already, though barely 40 miles by road from Helford, her home for 23 years, the hope within her heart had tired. That rather gallant courage which was so large a part of her was now shaken by this alien, barren landscape. No human being could live in this wasted country, thought Mary, and remain like other people. They would have something of the devil left in them still. She lifted the window sash and looked out. She saw ahead of her, on the crest of a hill, tall chimneys, murky dim in the darkness. If this was Jamaica Inn, it stood alone in glory, four square to the winds. The horses were pulled to a standstill. The driver climbed down from his seat, carrying Mary's box down with him. Then the coach was away, disappearing as though it had never been. Mary stood alone, with the trunk at her feet. She heard a sound of bolts being drawn in the dark house behind her, and the door was flung open. A great figure strode into the yard, swinging a lantern from side to side. The light shone in her eyes, and she could see nothing.
"Oh, it's you, is it? I'm your uncle, Joss Merlin. I bid you welcome to Jamaica Inn."
He drew her into the shelter of the house, stood the lantern upon a table in the passage, and they looked upon each other, face to face. He was a great husk of a man, nearly 7 feet high, with a creased black brow, a mat of hair, and a skin the colour of a gypsy. His mouth might have been perfect once, but was now sunken and fallen, and there was still something fine about his great dark eyes, in spite of the lines and pouches and the red blood flecks.
"So you are Mary Yellen. You've come all this way to look after your Uncle Joss. Ah, I call it very handsome of you."
He laughed, mocking her, his laugh bellowing through the house, acting like a lash on Mary's strung nerves.
"Where is my Aunt Patience?" she asked, glancing around her in the dimly lit passage.
"Where's my Aunt Patience?" mimicked the man. "Haven't you a kiss for your Uncle Joss first?"
Mary drew back. The thought of kissing him revolted her. He was either mad or drunk, probably both.
"I'm not going to touch you. I never did like dark women."
Then he shouted. Down the narrow stairs came a woman, wearing a dingy mob cap on her thin grey hair. Mary stared at her. Was this poor, tattered creature the bewitching Aunt Patience of her dreams, who was always laughing and wore ribbons in her bonnet and a silk petticoat? She was dressed now like a slattern, and looked 20 years older. Aunt Patience made a tremendous effort and smiled, and led the way through a murky passage into the kitchen.
"You mustn't mind your Uncle Joss," she said,
her manner changing suddenly, like a whimpering dog that has been trained by constant cruelty to implicit obedience, and who, in spite of kicks and curses, will fight like a tiger for its master.
"You'll soon come to like him. He's a fine man. There's no one will say a word against him, and it's not always as quiet as this here. It's a busy highway, and coaches pass every day."
Mary murmured some reply, but she was pained and worried to see how her aunt avoided her eyes. Joss Merlin came in and fell to drinking brandy, staring moodily before him. Mary was not too tired to watch her uncle, for already she had caught something of Aunt Patience's nervousness, and it was as if they were like mice in a trap, with him playing with them like a monstrous cat. Suddenly he thumped the table with his fist, shaking the plates and cups.
"I'm master in this house, Mary Yellen, and I'll have you know it. You'll do as you're told and help in the house and serve my customers, and I'll not lay a finger on you. But if you open your mouth, I'll break you until you eat out of my hand, the same as your aunt.
Mary faced him across the table. She held her hands in her lap so that he should not see them tremble.
I understand you. I've never gossiped in my life. I do my work about the house, and you'll have no cause to grumble. But if you hurt Aunt Patience in any way, I'll leave Jamaica Inn and have the law on you. Then try and break me if you like.
Mary had turned very pale. She knew that if he thundered at her now, she would break down and cry. Had she but known it, she had saved herself, for her little show of spirit impressed the man, and he leant back in his chair and relaxed.
You and I are more akin than I thought, Mary Yellen. I might have work for you at Jamaica Inn one day. Man's work, where you play with life and death.
Aunt Patience gave a little gasp beside her. The agony in her eyes frightened Mary more than anything that had happened that night. What had roused Aunt Patience to such panic? What had Jos Merlin been about to say? Her uncle pushed the empty brandy glass away from him and folded his arms on the table.
There's been one weakness in my life. It's drink. It's a curse, and I know it. And I talk until every damn thing I've ever done is spilt to the four winds. Your aunt locks me in my room and I shout my secrets into my pillow. I've told you, because I'm already a little drunk and can't hold my tongue. But I'm not drunk enough to tell you why I live in this God-forgotten spot. It's drink that's the curse of all of us, Mary. There's never been a Merlin yet that died peacefully in his bed. My father was hanged at Exeter. My brother, Matthew, was drowned in Trewarther Marsh. And the youngest, Jem, he'll be caught in time and hanged too, like his father.
Then he fell silent. He'd said enough. Mary's room was above the porch. The walls were rough and unpapered, the floorboards bare. For a long while she sat huddled on the bed, a prey to despair. She felt caught here, like a bird in a net. If she stayed even one night beneath this roof, her nerve would go, and she would be lost. Lost, and mad, and broken. Like Aunt Patience. She tiptoed to the head of the stairs when she heard a sound from the other passage. It was her aunt, crying. Mary waited a moment and then went back to her own room. Whatever she would have to face in the future, and however frightened she would be, she would not leave Jamaica Inn now. She was needed here. She must stay with Aunt Patience. Mary's mother would not have run away because of a half-crazy man. She would have the courage to fight her enemies and conquer them. The next morning, Jos was not at home. Where he had gone and on what business, Mary neither asked nor cared. She was only too relieved to be rid of him. During the morning, there was the usual work of the house, and Mary was able to explore the inn more thoroughly. It was a dark, rambling place with long passages and unexpected rooms. There was a separate entrance to the bar, and, though the room was empty now, there was a lingering taste of old tobacco, the sour smell of drink, and an impression of warm, unclean humanity. For all the unpleasant suggestion that it conjured, it was the one room in the inn that had vitality. The other rooms appeared neglected or unused. Even the parlour had a solitary air, as though it were many months since an honest traveller had stepped upon the threshold. Beneath her room, down a passage, was a locked room. Mary went out into the yard to look at it through the window, but there was a board nailed up against the frame, and she could not see inside. She then went out onto the road, and as far as her eyes could see, there was nothing but the black hills and the moors. To the west of Jamaica Inn, high tors reared their heads. Some were smooth like downland, but others were sinister and austere, their peaks crowned with granite and great slabs of stone. She went back into the house, her appetite sharp for the dinner. She fell to with a will upon stewed mutton and turnips. Her hunger appeased for the first time in 24 hours, she felt her courage return, and she was ready to question her aunt and risk the consequences. "Aunt Patience, why is my uncle the landlord of Jamaica Inn?" The sudden direct attack took the woman by surprise, and for a moment she stared at Mary without reply. "And why don't travellers stop here?" Twisting her fingers in her lap, her aunt explained that Uncle Jos didn't encourage folk to stay. In this lonely spot they could be murdered in their beds. "But what is the use of an inn that cannot give an honest traveller a bed for the night? And how do you live if you have no custom?" The driver on the coach had told Mary that respectable people were afraid and did not come to Jamaica any more. Her aunt was silent. Mary saw she had suffered enough, but with the rather cruel audacity of youth, she ventured one question more. "Aunt Patience, I want you to look at me and answer me this, and then I won't worry you again. What has the barred room at the end of the passage to do with the wheels that stop outside Jamaica Inn by night?" As soon as she had spoken, she was sorry, and she yearned for the words to be unsaid. It was too late, though. The damage had been done. A strange expression crept upon the woman's face, and her great hollow eyes stared across the table in terror. Her mouth trembled, and she looked fearful, haunted. Mary pushed back her chair. She knelt by her side and put her arms around her and kissed her. Aunt Patience took Mary's hands in hers and gazed into her face. "Mary, I must give you a word of warning." There were things that happened at Jamaica Inn that she'd never dared to breathe. Bad things, evil things. Patience couldn't even admit them to herself. Some of it in time Mary would come to know. She couldn't avoid it, living there. Uncle Jos mixed with strange men who followed a strange trade. From her window above the porch, Mary would hear footsteps and voices. When they came, Mary was to say nothing. She must lie in bed and put her fingers in her ears. She was never to question anyone, for if she came to guess what went on, her hair would go grey, and she would weep by night, and all that lovely, careless youth would die, as Patience's had died. Mary sat on the floor, and saw through the kitchen window that the sun had already disappeared behind the furthest hill, and that before many hours had passed, the grey malevolence of a November dusk would have fallen upon Jamaica once again.
Tamsin Gregg was reading part one of Jamaica Inn by Daphne du Maurier. It was abridged by Lawrence Morgan Griffiths and produced in Bristol by Alison Crawford.